Welcome to Hype episode 147. My name is Selena and I have Pam and Marima back for a week of entertainment news. It's been forever. But we are all here. It's great. I'm very excited. How are you guys doing? Are you excited?
Yeah. So excited.
It's good to be back.
Yes, it's very good. Everyone is I feel like every week someone is saying it's good to be back. But it's always good to be back, even when you haven't missed a week.
It's a busy time. It is
a busy time indeed. But we are doing our best to keep you guys up to date on the current entertainment news, and we do have a lot to talk about this week and a lot of listener feedback to get into, and some movie news and music news and all kinds of interesting discussion. And if you are our Patreon supporter, or if you are thinking about becoming one, then we would like to let you know that this week's bonus discussion over on patreon.com/hypepodcast is going to be Harry Styles album review. So anyone who's been keeping up with our running commentary of that can look forward to a more in-depth discussion than the one that me and Pam did on the show a couple of weeks back. So you can head over to patreon.com/hypepodcast to check out more and to listen to that episode if you feel like being a patron of ours. If you want to get in touch with us about anything we talk about this week on the show, or anything you would like us to talk about in the future, you can do that by emailing hype@hypable.com. You can find us on Hypable, which is hypable.com, in the podcast section. You can find us on Twitter @HypableHype. You can find us on Instagram @HypableHype. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. I might actually start using that this summer because I'm like kind of Tumblr curious nowadays with all the 100 stuff that I've been doing.
Black hole. But I say that with love. I'm just gonna put it out there.
I love lurking on Tumblr. I've never been very good at posting on Tumblr. So.
Godspeed, Selena. But,
Thank you very much. We look forward to hearing from you in any of those ways, and as I said, we'll be getting to the listener feedback later in the show. But the first thing we do, as always, is How We Hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week. Pam, what have you been doing?
Well, I went to the movies. There's a lot coming out. Apparently, everybody and their mother who participates and listens to this show only cares about Wonder Woman. That's understandable. But I've been checking out yes. some of the other summer blockbusters that have been coming out. So I didn't write but I did go see Baywatch, too. I went to see Baywatch, and I went see Pirates 5, because I knew neither of you were going to prioritize. So I needed to hold it down for everybody who likes bad movies, you know? Baywatch was, there's not very much to say. It was just like a fun, ridiculous, stupid time at the movies. It's like there's nothing like super deep about it, but if you're looking for just something fun to go see, why not go check out Baywatch during a matinee?
I actually have a question for that, because I want to take my brother to see Baywatch, and okay. like, let's be real, both Baywatch and Wonder Woman come out on June 1st, and I have my priorities straight, so I'm not going to obviously go see Baywatch on that day, but I do want to take him to go see it. Will he like it?
Probably, I feel, because like your brother, doesn't he really like action movies and stuff?
He does. Okay. And Zac Efron.
There's a lot of Zac Efron. There's definitely a lot of action. It's kind of like a silly kind of buddy. It's almost kind of like a silly buddy cop comedy when you strip it down, but like not just two guys, because like, you know, it's like this whole team of like little lifeguards, and they're like, we're more than lifeguards, we're gonna solve the crimes because this is our beach, so blah blah blah. it's like a buddy comedy, like it's like half just like normal buddy comedy meets like 21 Jump Street.
Okay, that sounds good. It doesn't sound like Office Christmas Party, which was the biggest letdown of
lives. I honestly think it's really it's like a fun, like, you could see it once and like enjoy yourself, good time at the movies, as long as you know what you're going into. That's all. It's not going to be anything groundbreaking, but it is a good time. So that's my Baywatch review. And then I went to see Pirates 5 as well. This was I was pleasantly surprised by Pirates 5. I don't think it was the movie that we need, but I think that if you're a huge Pirates of the Caribbean fan, this movie was definitely made with you in mind. There's a lot of throwbacks, not only to like lines and like in like scene shots from like the original movie, but even like down to like bonus features, like scenes that were cut from the original, like, Curse of the Black Pearl Pirates movie. Like, they threw it back to some of those lines as well. So in that sense, I just really think this was a movie for the fans. And I thought it was, for that reason alone, I thought it was really well done. It was nice to see them do that, because if this really is, like, the last one, it's kind of like a nice end cap to the whole franchise, or a way for them to kind of break away from a lot of the characters we've seen over the course of the last decade. Like, no need for more Jack Sparrow, but you could potentially continue on with some of these new faces. So yeah.
And what about you, Mama?
Well, I've been reading a book. So we have this fun giveaway happening over on Patreon right now, and we're giving away these books. They're so weird. I started reading them this week. They're actually pretty funny. The series is called Warlock Holmes, so you can probably assume from that basically the premise, but it's like, if Sherlock Holmes, if the reason that he could do all of his like observing people and knowing everything about them, etc., is not because he's like a genius detective, but because he's a magician. And the book is quite cute because it covers all of that by being like, no, he's just really observant. No, he's like a great detective. And it's very kind of tongue in cheek. So they're quite fun. The series is by G.S. Denning, and the second one just came out, but I've been reading the first one, which is A Study in Brimstone. And we're giving away two copies of these over on patreon.com/hypepodcast. So you can head over there to find the details. It's like super easy to enter the giveaway. Quick note, we can only ship to America, the UK, and Canada for this giveaway, but we will have things in the future, so don't stress. And just so you don't think that, you know, our patrons getting everything, we also have a copy of the first and second book in the series to give away to our just wonderful regular hype listeners. So if you want to do that, there shall be a little giveaway thing in the show notes of this post on hyperball.com, and we will link to that on Twitter and et cetera. So make sure you enter that, also only for US, UK, and Canada. So that's fun. And then also, like, this happened a couple weeks ago, but I haven't been on for a while. But like, as soon as we finished recording the last episode, I think it was just Pam and I read the entire Raven Cycle series. Like, I'd read the first book. Wow. And then I read the whole thing. So I've read them all. No spoilers. I really liked it, obviously. If you want to chat about it, come find me on Twitter. But I don't want to ruin it, because I'm trying to talk Pam into reading them also, so that like then we can discuss.
It's gonna happen. I bought the second book. I have not had a chance to read it. Actually, very quickly, I am reading this book called The Lovely Reckless by Cami Garcia, who is probably best known for the Beautiful Creatures series. We're going to be having an interview up on Hypeable with her, but if you're a fan of contemporary romance, this is definitely a book for you. It's really easy to get into. It's a quick read, and it's like contemporary romance meets Fast and the Furious in high school. So make of that what you will. The book comes out June 2nd. And I'm sorry, June 6th. The book comes out June 6th. So if that sounds like it's up your alley, keep an eye on hypeable.com for an interview with the author, and check out the book at a bookstore near you.
Also, obviously, like, I'm seeing Wonder Woman tomorrow, so that's going to be taking up the rest of my life, basically. Just talking about that, I think.
Cool. I'm excited to see that too. So moving into the news, no Wonder Woman this week, or reviews this week, but we do have some by some other people.
Yeah, we do. We've been hearing the first reviews of Wonder Woman, and surprise to some people, they are very good. They've been super positive. The embargo just recently lifted on the critics' reviews, and this was about the same time when this lifted for previous DC movies that we heard, like, oh, Batman vs. Superman, total train wreck. So everyone was a little tense, but they've been really good. People have been very excited about Gal Gadot's performance, about the direction. It's been kind of described as sort of the movie that DC has needed, a little funnier, a little lighter than the sort of grim, depressing darkness that we've had to deal with lately, without being the ridiculousness of Suicide Squad. So this is very, very encouraging and very exciting. You know, cautiously optimistic based on these, I certainly am.
I'm super optimistic. I also made a note that some people on Twitter were saying that it's very predictable how the genders of the reviews split on positive and negative sides. Of course.
Yeah, I mean, we're also seeing, you know, there's the backlash. There's a cinema in, I think it's in New York, that is doing a woman-only screening, and everyone's lost their minds about it. So, you know, it's good times all around. I've got my girl gang together. We are, like, ready to see it. No boys allowed. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the only thing about the reviews is, like, Batman vs. Superman was so bad, and Suicide Squad was, like, so ridiculous that the bar is low. That said, after Man of Steel, we all said, like, well, at minimum, Batman vs. Superman must be better than that. And then, we all agreed, like, no, it's definitely worse. So I think people can sort of gauge it. You know, obviously, there's, like, a lot of pressure on Wonder Woman, so it's super unfair. It's, like, a really unfair position for the film and the filmmakers to be in, but that's just the world. So fingers crossed, and I'm sure we'll be reporting back on this, like, next week. It will be out everywhere, right? So we'll be able to chat about it then.
All right, so moving on, staying in the DC verse, but to something, a very sad story that broke this past week, which is that Zack Snyder has stepped down from Justice League, which he's currently in the process of directing, because unfortunately and tragically, his daughter of only 20 years old committed suicide in March. And originally he wanted to carry on doing the movie because, you know, to sort of lose himself in the work. But he realized that he needed to take time with his family and for himself. So he and his wife, who was a producer of the movie, has stepped down. And the movie will be finished by Joss Whedon. Interestingly enough, the Hollywood Reporter broke this story and noted that there's not much for Whedon to do. There are some scenes that were written by Whedon himself, actually, that he will be directing, but it's not like, you know, he won't be making big changes, he won't be adding any characters, he won't be making this a Joss Whedon movie or even like a Snyder Whedon direction. Like, they're very much trying to keep the tone of Justice League, which is obviously the DC spin, I say, as though the comics haven't existed for decades, but it's like the superhero team up movie, like Avengers is for Marvel, and it's going to bring together Batman and Superman and the Flash and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and a couple of others to do their thing. And so Whedon is being brought on, maybe because of his experience with Avengers, maybe because he's already involved with DC. He's doing the Batgirl movie for them, so likely he's already heavily into what's going on, and it probably felt like a good fit. And I mean, I don't really know what there is to say about it, except that this is a terrible thing for Zack Snyder, and I hope that he feels like he made the right decision to step down.
Yeah, well put. This was just awful to hear about, and also I think very shocking to the entertainment community, because they were hoping to keep it private, you know, amongst the family, and he said in his statement that he felt the need to share why he was stepping down, because he didn't want people talking and stuff like that. And like, how sad is that? That was, they're just like, they needed to share this terrible, tragic family event with everybody, because they didn't want anyone thinking ill of what might have transpired. But yeah. So moving on to a little bit more movie news, but sticking in the superhero vein, we have I'm feeling like this must be the final trailer we're going to get for Spider-Man Homecoming, because this movie's coming out soon. You don't want to give away all the secrets, but we do have a new teaser out that premiered last week. It's a lot of the same. It doesn't give too much away, which is good, because I know that a lot of people are always like really worried about how many spoilers are in trailers and things like that. So we do get a lot of the same shots. We get a little bit more emphasis on the Spider-Man Iron Man kind of mentor-teacher type relationship that's going to transpire between Tony and Peter in this film. And most excitingly for everybody, we got our first look of Donald Glover, who of course was cast in the film as well. Not as Spider-Man as many were hoping, but it definitely looks like he's playing an interesting character. We have a fun little still from his Blink and You'll Miss It moment in the trailer if you want to check that out over on Hypeable.com. And in the scene that he's featured in, he kind of just tells Spidey he needs to get better at the job that he's doing. So definitely looks like he's going to have a fun role to play when the film comes out on July 8th.
Yeah.
Is anyone excited for this?
Not really.
You know what? I think I've said this before. I feel like out of all of the Peter Parkers, like even though we don't need another one, Tom Holland's Peter Parker is like the closest to the cartoon Spider-Man that I used to watch when I was younger. So purely for nostalgia's sake, I am looking forward to seeing how the movie comes out. But
yeah,
it's not necessarily something that we need. And that's the problem.
Well, I think the problem is also like that it looks like another Iron Man movie. And
oh, like, I know. Yeah. Your disdain for Tony.
Yeah, well, I'm still bitter about Civil War, but I feel like that's going to be the make or break when this comes out. Because it's like one thing to have kind of fun moments in the trailer, but like that implies that like he has a lot of screen time and people feel very strong. I mean, a lot of people really love Iron Man for unknown reasons, but people feel super, super strongly about Spider-Man. And if they don't feel like he's getting, you know, his due in this film, I feel like that could be the problem. But it's hard to judge from the trailer. Anyway, whatever. I agree with you. I think Tom Holland is really great casting, actually. But do we need this? Anyway. Okay, moving on to like the most exciting news and the most important news of the year. Everyone sit down.
We definitely need this one.
We definitely, definitely need this one. We are getting a Mamma Mia sequel. And look, I know that we're anti-reboots and we're anti-sequels, but like, let's all just get on board with this because like, obviously we do all need this in our lives. It is going to be called Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. And it is...
I wish it was called Grandmamma Mia.
Oh my God. Amazing. It's like, it's just so ridiculous. Basically what they're doing is they're taking the ABBA songs that were not in the original Mamma Mia and just like writing a new movie with them. And apparently the original cast are expected to return, plus new additions. So hopefully we will get to see Meryl Streep like dancing around a fountain again.
Yes.
Good times for everyone. This is like my mom's favorite movie. So like, I'm just so happy for her, but also I love ABBA. So I'm so happy for me. And also just why not have this? We have like 8 million superhero movies. Like I want an ABBA musical resurgence. So this is what we're getting.
I'm happy for all of us. Like this is the gift that keeps
we are hashtag
giving.
Blessed.
And what a time to be alive. And I'm trying to think about what they could possibly pull. I mean, ABBA has such a huge range in terms of like their songbook, but like they fit so many great ones in the original Mamma Mia alone. All I can think of is Waterloo, but how are they going to put Waterloo in there?
Well, Waterloo is in the original.
First movie,
it's the credit song.
Because that really counts.
Yeah, I mean, how would you forget that?
The credit song. The dance.
I mean, they'll probably just do the exact same song. Like, they'll just be like, true. Anyway, and now we sing, now is the moment where we sing Waterloo again.
Like, is Colin Firth going to be back, do you think? I loved him.
God, I hope so.
He's going to be back.
It's glorious. Oh, my God.
I can't really believe this is
happening.
I am so happy about this. Like, I just can't.
Me too.
I can't be unenthusiastic about this. Like, it's going to be great.
The first one is such a gift, and this one is just going to be so dumb in all the best ways. Like, in no way. The first one just did not try to take itself seriously, but it also wasn't, like, overly stupid. Like, it took itself seriously, but not, like, in a good way. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but basically, like you know,
seriously.
Like, when a movie's trying to be done.
It knew its place.
Yeah.
You know, it knew it was a jukebox musical. They just had, the cast had a great time with it, and it was a great cast. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah. It was. And
they took it seriously, but they knew that they were making a campy film.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. And I think that's why it worked. And it just seemed like the cast was having so much fun, and it just seemed kind of ridiculous. So, look, I think we can all get on board for this and say this is the news that we needed this year. It's been bad news for a while. So, like, let's just celebrate Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again! Exclamation point. It's going to be great.
It's going to be so good. So, changing pace quite extremely, the only link I can think of being that this is also something that will be great. And here we go again with Game of Thrones is returning for season 7. I can't believe it. 7 years of Game of Thrones. It's been wild. So the trailer has been released for season 7 and it looks so good. I'm not afraid to admit that I've had my ups and downs with Game of Thrones. You know, I loved it, and then they killed Shireen, and then I hated it intensely with a burning fire passion worthy of Daenerys, and now I'm like, I fell back into it, and I still think I haven't watched all the episodes in the middle, but, like, I don't care because I've read the books, so I know what's happening. So, yeah, season 7, the Starks look like they're finally coming back together. Daenerys is finally coming to Westeros and has this most incredible throne that you have ever seen in your entire life. Cersei Lannister and Jaime Lannister are now, and Tyrion, but he doesn't count according to Cersei, they're now the only Lannisters left, and they're going to defend the Iron Throne with all their might. And at the same time, a war is raging in the north against the ice part of the Song of Ice and Fire, and it's all going to clash, and it's going to be so good. Unfortunately, there's only 7 episodes of the season, which kind of sucks, but I'm sure those episodes are going to be great. Did you guys watch this trailer?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. There's definitely a season that I missed of the show when I was like,
probably season 5.
Yeah, I think it was the season where I was like, I just cannot deal with this, like, sexism anymore. This show is ridiculous. Like, I think it was the season where they were like, no, Cersei enjoyed being raped. And I was like, okay, I'm done. Like, I am bi. I'm so on board for this. I watched last season. I definitely watched last. I don't know where up to. I definitely watched the last season and got back into it. And I'm very keen for, like, as we know, I like knowing how things end so much. I'll spoil myself on shows I don't even watch. So, like, obviously, I'm going to be tuning in for the last 2 seasons of Game of Thrones. I think this looks cool. I'm most invested in the Starks, in the Stark girls. Like, I just really need Sansa to be in charge by the end, and I really need, like, a Sansa Arya reunion at some point. I really hope we start to see more of those reunions, like, this season as they're sort of setting the board for the final season, and I think that would make sense rather than like and then next season will just be like a total bloodbath. But yeah, I'm super excited for this, and I forgot that it was only 7 episodes, so now I'm a little sad, but oh well.
Yeah, me too, actually. But, like, to that point, I feel like you might actually get your wish with Sansa, because there's that, like, really foreboding part in the trailer where Littlefinger's like, it should really be you up there. So, you know, reading between the lines.
I mean, I also need Sansa to, like, murder Littlefinger with her bare
hands. Yeah, that too. But, you know, and he might be the one to give you what you truly desire, which is Sansa trying to put herself in the position of power, so.
I just think Sansa is, like, proven herself. I mean, I would talk about Sansa Stark for the rest of my life, but, like, she's one of the smartest characters on that show.
Yeah, her whole story arc too is, like, when you think about it, is probably one of the most fascinating, because she goes from this little girl who just is all me, and then all of a sudden realizes that she needs to play the game, and she's playing it arguably the best. So,
well, yeah, because she's survived this long and has dealt with, like, more trauma than a lot of the other. Like, she has been in danger's way since the very beginning and, like, has survived. So I give her a lot of props for that. But, I mean, it was like, super emotional last season when they all returned to Winterfell. So, like, I just want more of that. And, I mean, also Daenerys looked amazing in this. Sorry, I don't want to, like, skip over her. I just really like the Starks.
Yeah. No, for real. Seriously. There's a lot of good stuff in this trailer. I'm very, very excited. And that comes out on July 16th, so a month and a half away.
I'm sure we'll be doing some recaps or something on the show when it comes out.
Oh, I hope so, yeah. I think so. So I hope you guys are all going to watch along with us. I feel like everybody's kind of like, okay, Game of Thrones, like you've learned your lesson kind of. So,
like, but doesn't everyone want to know like how it ends? I feel like I have friends I've been talking about this with and they're like, oh, I don't even watch Game of Thrones, but I do want to know who ends up like on the throne. So it's just in enough of like the zeitgeist. If there even is a throne,
like that's the thing.
Well, Daenerys' dragon's going to melt that down.
Yeah. It's going to be like in Mean Girls where she's like, a piece for you and a piece for you.
They're going to fight the Ice Army. They're going to need those swords.
But that's the thing. Is I think like, obviously, I love that, fam. But like in the books, like everyone's going to die. Like the world is going to collapse in a ball of ice and fire. Like there's no way. But I'm actually like, have some kind of hope that in the show we're gonna get some kind of like resolution, like a narrative resolution. Like I have no faith in George R. R. Martin. He's gonna kill everyone and that's just gonna be like, oh, you cared about these people and now they're all dead, if we ever get an ending, that is. And like in the show I feel like there's gonna be some kind of narrative cap to it, you know, someone's gonna end up ruling Westeros, because otherwise the whole story is pointless in a way. And then you can say, oh, but it's the journey that matters, but like I need some kind of ending, so I hope the show gives me one.
Maybe the real ending is the friends we made on the way.
Oh no.
The dragons we grew from our I want that ending that Pam suggested. I want Daenerys to just pull swords out and just give them to
everyone and hand them out.
Yes. And you get a sword.
And you get a sword.
Oh, yes. Gendry, you're back. Gonna you be get like, a sword.
Screw this.
Imagine if Gendry came back.
Oh, my God.
I think he is coming back.
I hear tell that somebody saw him around set, or am I just making that up because I wanted
to know? I mean, I forgot that there was seven episodes, so, like, I'm hardly a Game of Thrones expert.
I don't know. We'll see. I've heard that rumor too. We'll see.
Hashtag
we'll
see. Gendry Watch 2017.
Yes. Hashtag still rowing.
All right. Well, here's something that we can for sure look forward to. Lin-Manuel Miranda has signed on to yet another Disney product, a Disney title. He's actually going to be in the upcoming Disney XD DuckTales reboot. And he's going to be playing a character called Gizmo Duck, who is a citizen of Duckburg, whose true identity is Fenton Crackshell Cabrera. And he happens to be a brilliant young intern who works for Scrooge McDuck's personal mad scientist. And it's just like, this is kind of like perfect casting because I, Lynn is so excited and everybody else is so excited. And just in general, the cast for this upcoming reboot is so great. Because along with Miranda, we're also going to get David Tennant, Danny Pudi, Ben Schwartz, Bobby Moynihan, and a bunch of other really, really awesome actors and actresses who are going to be lending their voices to this. If you haven't seen it yet, also, I would go onto YouTube and search, like, DuckTales theme, and you'll see, like, all of these people singing the original DuckTales theme. It was, like, a promo that came out a few months ago when they announced that this was a thing that was happening. So it's just going to be really, really fun.
DuckTales was my life when I was a child.
It was so good. Yeah.
Yes. It was like the only thing I watched. Every Friday we would get one video. I would get a video. My mother would get a video from Blockbuster and I would always get DuckTales and just watch them on repeat. So I'm very excited. I'm probably not going to watch it because they look weird. It's the Scrooge McDuck and Huey, Dewey, and Louie's adventures.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Yeah. Donald Duck is very big in Scandinavia.
He like goes he goes off to war.
Things you know.
Donald Duck, and that's why he's dressed as a sailor. Yeah, that's why he leaves Huey, Dewey, and Louie with
Scrooge. God, I didn't know the origin.
Yeah, that's
story
the origin
of that.
Story.
That is dark.
Jeez. Yeah, so he goes off, which makes sense in the grand scheme of like when Donald Duck was created.
Can't wait for the prequel.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, so he's just like, you guys be good. I gotta go to work. And he just so that's why Scrooge is raising his nephews.
Wow. Well, he in our canon, in Scandinavian canon, we have a Donald Duck magazines. Like, Mickey, this is a huge thing. I'm not going to go into it. But basically, Mickey Mouse is very American because he's, like, happy and la 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 and stuff. And we hate that because Donald Duck is much more, like, Scandinavian because he's grumpy and, like, you know, pessimistic and stuff. So he's like the star of everything over here, and we don't know nobody likes Mickey Mouse. So he has his own magazines and his own like books and cartoons, and yeah, he's the star. He doesn't go off to no war. Even in the DuckTales, like I don't remember them saying that, but yeah, anyway, sorry, got off track. I'm very excited for this.
I think that was an important tangent. Just to put in context to people, it's good to hear about the world. Okay, if we're done with DuckTales, moving on to book news now, something I'm very excited about. I know Selena, I'm sure, is very excited about. And Pam, you've read his Dark Materials, right? Have you read this?
I have. I've read all three of the original. I haven't read any of like the offsprings, like Lyra's Oxford.
All right. I mean, you're not even a real fan then, but like, whatever. No, I'm kidding. We got an excerpt from the highly anticipated volume one of Philip Pullman's The Book of Dust, and we got a title. So the book is going to be called La Belle Sauvage, or something in French. It's something along that pronunciation. I think it means the beautiful flower, but please correct me if I'm wrong on that. And we also got an excerpt. So I'm not going to spoil the excerpt because I know some people are choosing not to like read any of this stuff. What is interesting about it is it's not an opening excerpt, which is what we usually get, but it's from chapter 10. So it's like right in there. But it does reprise a character who we know from the original trilogy, or a couple actually, as well as a new character. So it's kind of an interesting way to imagine how Pullman might be approaching this, I guess. And the French is like, I don't know, the original was kind of set in Oxford. Like, are we going to go somewhere else? I guess we'll see. Or maybe not, because again, I don't want to spoil the excerpt, but the title is in it, so you can see that if you want to. But mostly this is just very exciting. It's like confirmation that this is actually happening, and on October 16th, like, we're going to get an actual book from Philip Pullman set in this world that's going to exist. Like, the book has been written. I mean, unless this is a very elaborate ploy, like, the book has been written because he is showing us part of it. So I am just so excited.
Yeah, me too. La Belle Sauvage means like wild beauty, I think, is the best translation for it, which is interesting, right? Because it's like, what does that mean? Ooh. I'm so excited for this. Like, I'm genuinely, I have to admit, like, Pam, like, I never read any of the extra stuff. Like, I read the books and I loved the books, but I didn't get into the extra material. But this one, it's just going to be a breath of fresh air. Like, it's hard for me to get into anything at the moment, but this one feels like a return to something that I know I already love, you know? So it's going to be really good.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
No, I just really love this world. So that's why, like, I've read all of the extra things that he's done for it, because I just find it, like, so fascinating. But, I mean, the level of excitement for this is, like, I can only compare it to, like, if J.K. Rowling was like, okay, I'm going to write, like, that sequel now, that would be, I would be this excited, or possibly not even, I think I'd be more excited for Philip Pullman than for J.K. Rowling's sequel. Maybe if J.K. Rowling said she was going to write that Marauders prequel, this is that level of excitement, right? Just to put it in context to people. If people haven't read it, like the original, I would strongly recommend that they do, and do not be put off by the worst movie ever made, The Golden Compass, which was just appallingly bad. These books are so beautiful, and I know that we've like talked about them before, but I think also, you know, for hype listeners, kind of relevant, like, this is going to be a huge fandom moment. People have been waiting for this for like almost two decades, and it's going to be a whole thing. So if you want to get involved in that, hey, you only have to read three books, and then you too can be part of this.
And they're so good too. They're so easy to read. You'll just fall in love. It's great.
Yeah. It's one of the best like fantasy worlds ever written.
100%. And just forget the movie ever happened. Just like immerse yourself in the books.
Cosign.
All right, so our second last to last story of the week is Harry Potter and the Cursed Child related. The Cursed Child cast in London had the original cast had its final performance. They've been replaced by a brand new cast that you can see if you go and see the play. Now they all look so weird to me because I got used to them It's so weird. Like, I don't know, plays. This is so weird in so many ways, this Cursed Child thing. Because, like, I get that plays change casts, but, like, it's Harry Potter, you know? It's weird. And it's the original book, and then it's a movie, so you're used to the fact that they have certain actors, and this is like recasting the movie, and I don't even know. It's so such a weird thing. Anyway, for the final performance that the original cast did, which ironically did not actually have Anthony Boyle as Scorpius because he was sick, but for their final performance, a long-awaited fan-favorite couple... I say with a snicker and a smirk, Scorpius and Rose finally had a real kiss on stage, which apparently, which is weird because like it says she finally kisses Scorpius, but then like the Rolling Library said that she went in for a lip kiss and then grabbed his tie and spun him around and kissed his cheek instead. I feel like that happened in my screenings or in my performance too. I might be misremembering or else this really isn't that special. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, we joke, we're like, haha, it should have been Scorpius and Albus. But I say with the deepest of sincerities, it should have been Scorpius and Albus. This is ridiculous. Rose, as you know, if you've read or seen the play, Rose has no part to play in this play. She's literally just there to be Scorpius's, ooh, he likes her, ooh, she's yelling at him. It's Hermione and Ron all over again. And then she goes away, and then she's like, she hasn't, the Rose thing is one of the most disappointing parts of this play, and there are a lot that she doesn't really have a part to play. And, but yeah, anyway, I mean, I'm sure there are Scorpios fans out there who are excited about this.
I mean, are there?
there are a couple. I've seen like two or three.
Okay.
My favorite thing about this, though, was somebody who tweeted at Hypeable and said, I think you misspelled Albus.
Yes, I know.
And it also kind of hurt.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's a weird, it's like, you know, you want to say, let's stop trying to make Scorpios happen. It's not going to happen. You know, like this whole play is a disaster. But the good news is that, as we reported a few weeks back, they did film it. We might get to see the original cast perform the play on screen one day. And until then, I mean, we wish the new cast the best of luck. And if any one of our listeners are, have gotten the chance to experience the new cast, then we would love to hear from you because I would love to know what they're like.
So we have one last little piece of news for you guys. This is actually just, it's kind of really sad. Last week, there was a horrible attack at the Ariana Grande concert out in Manchester in England, left 22 people dead and 50 injured. And this story, when it hit, just broke my heart because you guys know I'm very entrenched in the music scene, and music is so special. It's supposed to be such a safe space. It's supposed to be, you know, like concerts are supposed to be joyous, and for something like this to happen in any capacity, any kind of concert, and we've seen this happen quite a few times in the music realm, just kind of like really breaks my heart on top of the fact that she has so many younger fans that tragically lost their lives because of one person's decision to wreak havoc on you know, a night that was supposed to be full of joy. But Ariana Grande, who had originally suspended her Dangerous Woman tour in light of the incident, actually just came back and announced that she'll be hosting a benefit concert for Manchester. And it's set to take place on June 4th at the Emirates Old Trafford in Manchester. And she's not going to be the only one performing at the concert, of which all benefits will go to the victims of the attack and their families. So joining her on this night will be Coldplay, Katy Perry, Pharrell, Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus, Niall Horan, and Take That. And I'm sure, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we hear of more musicians coming together to take part in the upcoming benefit concert. But it's just been really overwhelming in a nice way to see kind of like the music industry come together and respond to this terrible incident and try and make something beautiful come out of it. So we wish everybody who was affected by this well and hope you guys are doing great. And it's just really nice to see that she's getting back out there to do what she loves and isn't letting that affect her as far as like continuing to bring people joy, because that's the whole reason they were there in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, her coming back so soon and doing this concert, and everyone who's been doing these concerts, not only is it really important to do this to benefit the victims, but it's also just really important to get out there and do this and keep doing this and keep celebrating and keep living and keep, you know, performing and doing music and stuff. So I have lots of respect to her for this, mm-hmm. I think. Definitely the right move. And with that brings us to the end of this week's news. Thank you for the news. And we're going to move into TV show of the week. Marima, what do you have?
I mean, I feel like you should start, but okay. I'll be quick. I'll be watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I finished the season 4 finale back last week now. It was kind of tense because we weren't sure if the show was going to get picked up for season 5, but it like came right down to the wire, but it has been. That's exciting because the season 4 Yay. Finale, much like the season 3 finale, had a huge cliffhanger in it. That's kind of what they seem to be doing now, and it would have been a really, really terrible way to end the series if they had not been picked up. So that's happened. That's good. There are a lot of changes happening for different characters. So that will be super interesting to see how that goes into season 5. What I love about Brooklyn Nine-Nine, aside from the fact that it's hilariously funny, is that it's a show that really lets its characters develop and grow and doesn't do the thing that often happens on shows like this where, like, they have to learn the same lessons over and over again and, like, you know, it's just sort of this stagnant thing because it's a funny environment. I've seen some interviews with the creators saying, like, well, in reality, you know, this group of police officers would not have still been all working at the same precinct by now. So we're, like, sort of working through that and different ways to, like, move them on or, like, keep them together. So, yeah, it was a really good finale. It was, there was an hour long finale they did, and there are like quite a few surprises across it. So that's always really fun. Still really funny. Yeah, really good. Really, really good. And, my housemate has actually just started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So I've been enjoying like the secondhand, oh my God, this is amazing. As he goes through it back on like season 1 now, but yeah. Finally caught up, and it's totally worth it. No spoilers, but they will be floating around soon. So if you haven't seen it yet, you definitely want to go in and watch the finale ASAP, because I don't think you want to get spoiled on some of the stuff that goes down in there.
I'm pretty sure I've already been spoiled. I've been spoiled on one of the cliffhangers, but like I don't know which one, so I guess I'll be surprised.
There you go. Yeah, there are a few things happening. There's some stuff happening with the cast, I think. So they needed to like set some things up for season 5, which is quite fun. So yeah, interesting. I'll keep it as vague as possible.
Hmm. Yeah, I've really enjoyed the season ending shockers in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Actually, the one where they had to go he's gone into deep cover a few times, actually, but the last time that he did it with
Holt,
that was
well. Here's what amazing. I like. What I like is that they do these big cliffhangers, and like there are payoffs for them. It's not like anyway. Yes. Then we move on. Like last season with the Gina, or in the mid finale.
That's the one I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think it was the mid season finale. There was like a big cliffhanger with Gina, and then. Mm-hmm. The way that they resolve it is like, it's very funny, like in typical Brooklyn Nine-Nine style, but they don't just go like, anyway, 3 weeks later, like here we are. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that because they sort of write themselves into these corners and it like forces them to be super creative and in really fun ways rather than just sort of resetting it, which could happen on a lesser show, I think.
Mm-hmm. And that's funny you say that because it's sort of a perfect transition. Speaking of writing yourself into corners, when I spoke to the 100 actor Bob Morley earlier this year, and I was talking to him about whether the season 4 finale of the 100 was going to be satisfying as a season finale or a series finale, and he kind of laughed at me and he was like, no. And he said that the writers of the 100 are great because they do write themselves into corners, and then they have to find interesting ways of digging themselves out, or as he said, just knocking down a wall and finding a room on the other side. And indeed, that is what they have done. No spoilers, because I don't want You guys will be any more spoiled than you have to be if you follow me on Twitter, which is probably a lot spoiled because it's pretty much all I tweet about now is the 100. I apologize to anyone. Reminder, a public service announcement that you can mute hashtags on Twitter if you do not want to see my the 100 content. But yeah, the 100 season 4 is done. It was a very, very good season, I thought. It had a bit of growing pains in terms of there were only 13 episodes this season, which felt like too little, but it also felt a little bit like they used their time on, I don't want to say the wrong thing because that's like ridiculous. I don't decide what they use their time on, but I feel like there was because the apocalypse was happening like all through the season, like, oh, the world's going to end, the world's going to end, the world's going to end. And they kept like being desperate and looking for ways of fixing everything. And it was a lot of false starts and big buildups and them figuring out, oh, that's not going to work anyway. And then you maybe had a little bit of dropped character stuff towards the middle. But then there were some connections like Raven and Murphy and some other stuff that just worked extremely well. Then when we got to the last couple of episodes, it really came together and really, really began to... I think they're trying to do the Game of Thrones thing where they break up characters for a while so that when they get back together, it's this great, like, yes moment. And the fans are just like, but no, the show is good when the characters are together. Stop splitting them up. But no, they did come back together by the end. And the finale was probably one of the show's very, very best hours of television. It was just a really good episode. And the cliffhanger was amazing. Very, very game-changing. And the 100's usual style of just doing, not really doing, like, what has never been done before, but doing it bigger and more extremely and with more sort of conviction than a lot of other sci-fi shows. So I'm super, super, super excited for season 5, and the fandom's super excited. This is the happiest that I've seen the fandom since like season 1, when there was no real fandom because it was just starting. So this is pretty much the happiest the fandom's ever been. I'm very happy. I'm very excited. This is a good way to end it. And a really, really good season that's given me some new favorite characters and some new favorite ships and just lots of good stuff. I am very happy with this season. But there's been some deaths and there's been some sadness, but all in all.
Shh, no spoilers.
Well, it's the 100.
Somebody will die.
Somebody dies.
Hey, Marima, how far are you?
In season 4? Mm-hmm. Oh, like... I think I got up to like episode 6 or something.
Okay, that's not too bad.
That's pretty good.
Around there, 5 or 6.
Yeah, that's right around when it got like when it dipped a little bit because episode 5 is probably my least favorite episode of the season. Episode 4, I wasn't a huge fan of either.
Yeah, I would have to check Selena's recaps because I don't want to look at like an episode list because in case I accidentally get spoiled on things I didn't know. I'd have to go back and check your recaps and see like how far I got. But I got around there and then I just got a bit slow and I kind of dropped off on it because I watched a bunch really quickly and then I was like, oh no, I don't care. But the good news is I have been super busy, so I've hardly been on Twitter. So I've seen none of your 100 spoilers. So
yeah, that's good.
That's good. So I can still check it out.
And what have you been watching, Pam?
Oh, I feel like this is a little bit of a cop-out because I talked about it on last week's bonus, but I just want to reiterate my love for The Handmaid's Tale, even though it was a harrowing experience to binge the entire first season. But even so, I highly recommend it. And yeah, I think I'm still thinking about it. So that's the mark of good television, I think. All the Emmys for Elizabeth Moss, please and thank you. I think she did a really great job, and I really want you guys to watch it because I would love to hear what you have to say about it. But if you have seen
it
and you're listening, yeah, please let me know what you thought because I'm just kind of sitting here like, do-do-do-do-do, need someone to talk
to. I'm waiting for it to air in Australia.
Oh, that's right, because you can't get Hulu. I forgot.
No. Yeah, and also because they've like... It's going to air here. They've announced the air date. It's like in early July or something, I think. So, you know, gotta support the networks that are picking these things up. And also, like, I mean, I've read the book. So like,
yeah, so you already understand that it's like, it's a story that's meant to make you feel angry because it's,
yeah,
it's kind of just, yeah.
Actually, I mean, I have to say, like, the world is like not a nice place right now. I am sort of reluctant to watch this. I mean, I obviously will watch it because because I love the book and I love Margaret Atwood, but like it's one thing to read it and it's another thing to see it. And like that's why I'm waiting for
it to air
so I can that's why I'm waiting for it to air, because I want to watch it with a bunch of my friends, and that's like a good way to kind of have sort of viewing parties to watch it, so we're not like binging it all in our homes by ourselves like crying about the state of the world.
Don't do as I did, because I think I mentioned that too. It was kind of one of those things where I've never read the book, but I am pretty positive that it's way different to read it and imagine it versus actually see how they've brought some of these things to life, especially considering that we are, you know, stripping away basic human rights as it is already.
This is the time for like Wonder Woman.
The Handmaid's Tale. Wonder Woman. It's always time for Wonder Woman.
I didn't write this down, but can I also just say that because I can't help myself and I just clearly like to be masochistic, I also watched ABC's, remake of Dirty Dancing, and that was terrible. Like, talk about something you can skip. I don't understand how it happened, but I'm pretty sure the dancing got worse as the movie went on. And I think that you should all do like me if you watched it and just go watch the original to cleanse your soul after, because I felt really no. And you guys know I'll give a pass to most things, but this was pretty bad.
If
you
could please Pam's test.
No, it was pretty bad, and yeah. So if you've like never seen Dirty Dancing, but you decided to tune into that, like same story, but like please just go watch the original, because it was so awful, and it wasn't even like the actor's fault. It was just like the way that it was done was just really bad, and I didn't like it at all. So yeah, that's one you can skip if you were curious.
Okay, good to know. All right, so moving on to listener feedback, we're going to start with our Patreon topic. Pam, do you want to get this one?
Yeah, so last bonus, which we also made available for everybody because we felt so guilty about having skipped a week. Selena and I talked about this Twitter hashtag that was trending earlier. I think it was like last Monday. And the hashtag was advice from movie characters. And we kind of shared some of our favorites. And then we asked you guys to write in and let us know what some of your favorite pieces of advice from movie characters is. So the first one here comes from Laura, who says, I love the serious quote, if you want to know what a man's like, take a good look at how he treats his inferiors, not his equals. It just really tells you how much you can tell about a person and if you want to be their friend or if you want to be around them. I'm actually running a half marathon next week and that quote will be on the medal. That's really cool.
Oh, that's super cool.
Let us know what marathon you're running, because that sounds like a pretty cool medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
I can't figure out how it relates to running a marathon, but it's a good quote.
It's just like a good motto for life. Do you want me to get this next one?
Yes, please.
Okay, Sarah Venn says, I think I would have to agree with Laura. The Harry Potter series has given me some great advice over the years. Nothing like a good old quote from Dumbledore when you feel a bit lost or mistreated. Like, the fact that you can feel pain like this is your greatest strength. When I was 10, I got the Disney movie A Little Princess from my grandma. I thought it was so magical, and I still listen to the soundtrack sometimes to get that warm, fuzzy feeling. Even though the movie was actually quite sad, one of my favorite quotes from the movie was, I am a princess, all girls are, even if they live in tiny old attics, even if they dress in rags, even if they aren't pretty or smart or young, they are still princesses. And another one, perhaps to be able to learn things quickly isn't everything. To be kind is worth a great deal to other people. Lots of clever people have done harm and have been wicked.
That's a good one. I feel like I know this one.
The quote?
Maybe know this one. Maybe I've seen this one.
The Little Princess?
It feels familiar to me. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't.
I feel like I you must it. Have. This is. You've never seen A Little Princess?
No, I've never even heard of it. What is
really?
It?
It's very it's vague. It's so beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's like
Pam,
on
I'm
the
not
same
American.
Like, I know, but I thought
no,
it was
we
like,
don't know this stuff.
I thought it was
we
like
didn't have
Secret
Disney.
Garden, the A Little Princess. But it's not Disney. I don't think it's Disney. It's
the
like
Secret
a live
Garden,
action.
I know. A Little it's Princess, like, I do not know.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we're going to have to fix this because it's
I know Monet's great. Garden.
It's a great movie.
It's a really good movie.
There's two. There's a Shirley Temple version, which is super American. But then there's like another one. There's like another
one. A Little Princess was directed by Alfonso Cuarón.
Yeah, that one.
What?
That's the 90s version.
Wild.
It's the 95.
But it's beautiful. Yeah.
Does it have Shrunken Heads in it?
No.
Like the most horrible movie trope of all time? No?
Probably
the
not.
The movie's so great because this little girl, she's like,
Liam Cunningham in it. Java Sigla.
Yeah, no,
isn't
it's
it?
You guys, let me just school you on the Little Princess. So she goes to live in this like terrible home for like orphan children. She's like, I'm not an orphan, like I have a dad, blah blah blah. And like there's the mean like old lady who like runs the orphanage, and she's like, no, she's like, you're just like a dirty orphan, and like you're terrible, and you're not a princess, and you need to stop living with your head in the clouds, and blah blah blah. And her dad's like off at war and like lost, and so she thinks that this is going to be her life forever. It's just like, it's so beautiful. Just like,
okay, but the Alfonso version is not the Disney version. This one was awarded for two, like nominated for two Oscars. So
right, what? I wonder if the Shirley Temple version, it was made by Disney, or if maybe Sarah was just confused or something, because I don't remember it being a Disney movie, but I could be wrong.
I mean,
but the Alfonso Cuarón version is the one that I was thinking about in general.
Oh, no, I definitely have never heard of this in my life, but thank you for the lesson.
Yes, you guys need to watch it. You'll love it.
Okay, wow. Well.
Anyway, Selena, do you want to get this other one?
I will. So Yannick Linhai says, although a random movie to quote, I love when Christina Aguilera says the following line in Burlesque. I looked around and realized there wasn't one person whose life I wanted. That line is so interesting because when I heard it for the first time, I actually made me step away from the movie long enough to realize that at that given moment in time, I wasn't physically in a place where it made sense for me to be, even if I was surrounded by people I cared about and who cared about me. Often being in the right place is as important as being in the right state of mind and being with the right people. Having one fulfilled is never enough. Having all three is nearly impossible. That's interesting. I assumed that quote was about like, I am happy with my own life because I don't want anyone else's life. But that's a much more sort of interesting, that's a very interesting reading. I really like that. That's cool. That's good.
Very cool.
I love this movie wisdom. And thank you so much to our Patreon supporters for those contributions. And if you would like to read more about our Patreon, you can go over to patreon.com/hypepodcast. And moving on to our listener feedback, we have one. Merima, do you want to get this comment?
Sure. This is from Betty Anderson, who says, I've been listening to Harry Styles' new album a lot since it came out. I'm not very into 70s rock or whatever it is he's inspired by, and I very much agree with Selena that the album is kind of all over the place, but I like it anyway. My favorite songs are Sign of the Times, obviously, Two Ghosts, and Kiwi, especially after hearing the live performances from The Late Late Show. So good. Even my friend, who was convinced that Liam is the only one from 1D who can actually sing, had to change her mind. I don't really like Woman, though. I can't stand the annoying duck noise in the background. All right. Yeah. We'll have much more to say about this in our Patreon segment.
Yes, we will. All right. So our Twitter comments, you guys just want to go back and forth?
Sure. This first one here from Sarah Preston says, if you can get the UK Channel 4, you can watch The Handmaid's Tale there. Just listening to you say you can't get Hulu on Hype. So that's for you, Selena.
A PSA. Okay, we have a tweet from Megan Carlisle who says, look what I bought today. Saw it in theaters, but it's one I wanted to own, and it's the Hidden Figures DVD. Represent. I actually just rewatched that because I had to write a review of it. So, still great. Can confirm.
Rebecca says, any chance of an end of season 4, The 100 special? They knocked it out of the park with the finale.
How much have you watched, Pam?
4.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
I'll do one by myself. I'll just talk about it on my own.
I'm sure we can do it in like a a few weeks.
It's a long hiatus, guys. We have time.
No, wait. Okay, I think we'll
do it. As long as we don't have to do it like tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
We'll do it like the week before season five.
Okay, that we can commit to at least.
Yeah, totally. All right, Ashley Bond says, about to start going through the whole of Rewatchable. Finally found it, and they are all shows I either love or want to watch. Well, you're going to be there for 1,000 years because that's a lot of podcasts.
That's going to be great. Yeah. I was on the very first Rewatchable we ever
Wasn't
did.
It
I was
your
on
idea?
The Veronica Mars one.
It was mine.
Also, you thought of Rewatchable.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a Selena Wilkin production.
One. I was on Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, I think we've all been on Rewatchable, so you'll hear some familiar voices for sure.
Firefly, Veronica Mars, a little bit of Buffy. A couple of seasons. No big
deal. The early years.
Good. I hope you enjoy. Yeah, Buffy the early years. I hope you enjoyed, Ashley. There's a lot to get through. Mm-hmm.
Sarah Klein says, I just bought Hidden Figures and we watched it. It was just as awesome as seeing it in theaters. I love everybody that's picking up Hidden Figures.
It's the best. Yes. This is my legacy. I'm very excited. Erochi? I'm not sure. Apologies in advance. Says, listen to your recommendation and started reading Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. I absolutely love it. Oh, I lied. This is also my legacy. My other one. So glad that everyone's loving this book.
Laura says, I would adore a Harry Potter themed read along. This was, were you and I discussing this, Verma?
I think a few weeks ago.
Yeah, for the 20th anniversary. So Laura continues, me and my friends in real life are following the book club and chatting weekly. I would love to hear all your thoughts on the individual books. Yes, please. Also, if fans want another read along podcast, check out Alohomora. At Alohomora MN, which does an episode for each chapter of the series and is very well done. I am almost done with book 5. Also, I'm going to BookCon in a couple of weeks. You are all convention pros. Do you have any tips and tricks? Thanks in advance. Wear good walking shoes. But
take water too. And snacks.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you so much money and they're just terrible nachos. Like, do not do that to your body.
And also, like, bring a good backpack, too, because if it's anything like the comic conventions and stuff, they'll have a lot of freebie things, and you don't want to be the person that doesn't have enough, like, pocket space and just, like, bulging pockets. So just bring a backpack, and you could just
toss
all your goodies in there.
If you can get one, buy one of those backup batteries for your phone, because, like, you're going to want to be on it, and you're not going to be able to find a place to charge it. Like, there are just going to be too many people there. So if you can have one of those backup batteries for your iPhone or, like, whatever it is you're using, that is, like, number one tip. And have
what
fun.
You got,
it's going to be great.
Nothing. Don't piss off any shippers or anything like that. That's pretty much my only takeaway. Keep a low profile.
I co-sign everything, but especially co-sign have fun.
Yes.
And let us know how it goes.
Try to do that.
Let us know how it goes.
Yeah, when is BookCon?
Isn't it this week?
Is it this weekend?
I feel like it is.
Hopefully you hear the tips in time. All right. Mm-hmm. Ellie Arnott says, hi, just wondering if anyone was watching Versailles season 2. I love the special Selena did with Alex Vlahos last year. Selena, are you watching?
I know. I'm doing nothing, but I watched The 100. That's literally the only pop culture thing that I've done for like 6 months. But I do want to watch it. I liked season 1. I'm sure I'm going to love season 2 whenever I get around to it. And thank you for listening to that. That was still one of my favorite specials that we've ever done. So I appreciate that. And hopefully I'll get around to watching it this summer. It's definitely on my list.
I'm pretty sure my mom watches Versailles season 2, so maybe she can interview Alex this time for us. Just one for the team.
Why not?
I have to wait for it to come out on Netflix, but I was really excited that the first season was on Netflix after it aired. So that's kind of cool. Amelia says, I finally finished the Gilmore Girls specials. Thanks for all the effort you put in. So much fun rewatching with you girls. Aw, thanks.
Aw.
Yay.
So yay.
And then we've got one email from Laura. Merima, do you want to get that one?
Sure. Laura says, hi, ladies. You spoke in a previous episode at being utterly confused about the upcoming season of Once. I have seen the final episode and I'm actually excited about what will most definitely be the last season of Once. I won't spoil you, but think the phrase "you close a door and open a window" applies. Also, another hint, one actor is leaving, but the character may not be gone. I will definitely be tuning in next season. As for my flash thoughts, at the end of the episode before the season finale, I was so angry I wanted to throw my laptop out the window. My laptop is safe. But after the actual ending of the season, I was very impressed with them handling a possible death of a character and leading to another season of where literally anything is possible. I was very impressed with the performance of all the actors, but especially Grant Gustin. It was a really good finale and will definitely be running it.
Watching it
in the fall. Yes. Sorry, my bad. I hope this didn't spoil you too much, Laura. No, that was actually very tantalizing, Laura. No spoilers at all. That's funny about the actor leaving and the character staying. Like, I don't know. I don't know why we didn't.
I know
think
exactly
about that.
What
like,
she's talking about now because I had to spoil myself for work.
No,
but, that's okay. That's okay. She did a good job.
That's so dumb. Are they going to be you, like in a bar?
Do you
want to
know?
Stupid like that.
Yeah, I want to know.
Do you guys both want to know?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So Jared Gilmore, who plays Henry, he is gone, but there is going to be an adult Henry, and the last scene that you see in the finale is this little girl who shows up with the storybook at adult Henry's door, saying, "Hey, I need your help. You need to save your family. P.S. I'm your daughter."
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I didn't think of it again. Why? More ridiculous.
Oh, no.
No.
They reset it.
I'm so glad I quit.
Big reset button.
Oh, well, I'm sure.
Last season, if it's the last season, I've come this far, you guys. I've come this far.
Oh, Pam, you
got to
do it. Take one for the team.
Well, that's the plan. And honestly, I don't think I even need to catch up for like the 3 episodes I'm behind because it's all reset anyway. So,
yes. True.
So true.
Just watch season 1 again. That's good season.
Season 1 was good.
Yeah. Season 1 was really good, you guys. Like, I stand by that. Oh, it's a long time ago. Oh, my gosh. So thank you so much to everybody who submitted listener feedback. If you, too, want to write in and defend Once Upon a Time season 20 or whatever you want, then you can do that by emailing hype@hypeable.com. You can tweet us at hypeablehype. You can leave a comment on hypeable, which is hypeable.com. And you can find us on Instagram at hypeablehype and on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can, of course, find us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/hypepodcast. All right. So thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you for the Harry Styles bonus segment if you're a Patreon. And if not, we'll see you next week for episode 148. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Arama.
Bye.
Bye.